All right, well, Father, we just thank you that we can come today and fellowship over your word. I thank you that you've given direction, and I've done my best to be obedient. And so I just rely on you through the Holy Spirit speaking to me, and also to speak to each individual person, to teach them where they are today, what they need for this time in their life, that we may serve you and do it in a way that brings glory to your name. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray that and believe it. Okay. last week we looked at the prayer in Ephesians 3, and we went through it in great detail, and we're not going to review that right now. We're not going to review anything. We also began to talk about what is called the prayer of faith, or the prayer of petition, or the prayer of asking and receiving or requesting, a lot of different words. And as I prayed about getting ready to start this week, I know I had told you that I was feeling like we would get into talking about the prayers of supplication and intercession. And the Lord began to speak with me. It just, some things were not clear. And the reason they weren't clear is because what I'm going to do today, I believe, is that his instruction is go back over some of what we talked about last week about the prayer of petition, prayer of faith, and continue on with some more material that we did not get to last year, and there's even more than that was in the notes last week. And so that's what I will be doing today. But before we do that, I want you to turn to Leviticus, the 26th chapter. This is one of those things that the Lord shared with me, and I'm just going to share it with you. You know, in 2 Chronicles 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name. It doesn't say that everybody in our nation has to do it. It's talking about us. And it ends up by saying he will heal their land. And with all that went on, last Friday night, Saturday in Paris, I just began to perceive that spirit of fear and terror rising up. And the Lord just ministered these to me. Actually, it was Monday morning when the men were coming here as I sat in the car waiting for the door to be opened to pray. There's about six of us that gather here. And in this chapter, let's just read for time's sake, verse 6. It says, I shall also grant peace in the land, so that you may lie down with no one making you tremble. I shall also eliminate harmful beasts from the land, and no sword will pass through your land. Now let me just show you verse 7 and 8 real quickly too, so that you can pray about these. But you will chase your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall before you by the sword. So I will turn toward you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. So I just felt like that morning I was to share that with the men, and that's kind of how we prayed starting off. I want to pray about what's going on in the world today, not moved, and I'm going to get into this a lot when we do talk about supplication and intercession. I want to be praying from God's perspective, not out of my reaction to the evil I see going on. Because if I'm praying out of the evil going on, I'm praying in response to Satan, and I want my prayers to come from heaven, from him. And we'll get into that a little more. Let me read you two translations. Complete Jewish Bible, verse 6. Complete Jewish Bible says, I will give shalom into the land. You will lie down to sleep, unafraid of anyone. I will rid the land of wild animals. The sword will not go through your land. Young's literal translation says, I've given peace in the land, and you've lain down, and there is none causing trembling. And I have caused evil beasts to cease out of the land, and the sword does not pass over your land. So I just felt led to share that with you this morning. If we're going to pray about what's going on in Paris and all the situation about coming here and all the rhetoric about do we attack, do we not attack, are we doing what we need to do, let's pray from what God's Word says in His covenant toward us. And let's not pray just in reaction to what the devil says. Now, let's go back to what is on your notes. Matthew 13. The 52nd verse. Now, this doesn't necessarily have to do anything with praying, but it does have to do with why I believe we're going back over some stuff today. I'm just going to tell you, as I left here last week, I didn't feel peace in my spirit about the way I heard and delivered things. And so I want to go back through some things. And part of it was because we had to stop, and I just was too ambitious and I guess didn't listen and got too much in the notes that we didn't get to. So I want to. We're going to go back and revisit. And then the Lord showed me this scripture this weekend. And I must confess, as many times as I've read through Matthew, this one has never jumped out at me. But it did this week. Therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household, who brings forth out of his treasure things new and things old. The Amplified says, every teacher and interpreter of the sacred writings who's been instructed about and trained in the kingdom of heaven has become a disciple is like a household who brings forth out of his storehouse that is new and treasure that is old, the fresh as well as the familiar. Complete Jewish Bible says every Torah teacher who's been made into a Talmud for the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a home who brings out of his storage both old things and new. So what I'm going to do today is bring forth some old things that we talked about last weekend and some new with it. So I feel like that this is what we're supposed to do. So we've probably never reviewed this much over it, but this is what the Lord instructed us to do. All right, so the prayer of faith, petition. Look at James 5, and we looked at the ones that are underlined last week. So let's look at the other ones today and get started there. And let's just read the first part of 15. And the prayer offered in faith, or it talks about the prayer of faith. And what does it say it will do? In this case, it's talking about a prayer of faith, a prayer that is offered in faith for healing, will what? Restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Now, let's go to Mark 11, 24. Now, let's do that one last. Let's do Psalm 20 again, verse 5. I like that one. Great psalm. I was in a meeting where Bill Johnson was speaking in Tennessee, and I had just read one of his books. And before the meeting, he was just sitting over there, so I just sat down and started talking to him and asked him to sign the book. And when he did, he kind of looked up in the sky for about what seemed like to me an eternity, probably only 15 seconds. And then he wrote down, be blessed, this psalm. He wrote down Psalm 20, so it's been special for me. Verse 5 says, we will sing for joy over your victory. Now this is David praying for himself. And in the name of our God, we'll set up banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now, even David was bold enough to pray that the Lord would fulfill how many? All of our petitions. All right, so with that then, let's go to Mark 11, 24. And it says, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray, King James I think says, for which that you desire, and ask, believe that you have received them, and they what? Shall be granted unto you. What does King James say? They shall be unto you. You will have them. Okay, so we see here this concept of asking the Lord. We've said that all prayer ought to be in faith, so we're asking in faith. And what? We should expect to receive. Now, what we looked at last week was the definition of this word. And let me tell you, I misspelled it. I misspelled it three times in this week's notes, and I probably misspelled it last week. I didn't look. It's A-I-T-E-O is the word we're going to be talking about. Ahiteo. Don't ask me. That's one of those things you just write and look, and you never notice that you know what the word's supposed to say. It literally means to ask, to make the request, or the petition. That's what this type of prayer is about. This Greek word is translated ask, call for, crave, desire, and require. It's used 59 times, it and its derivations, and more than 50 times it says ask, desire, require, and call for. Now, there are two times where it's used and translated beg. And I've said before to you, I don't believe that believers have to be beggars. And prayer that is offered in faith, to me, is not a prayer that is begging. We'll get into talking about beseeching and the other prayers in a couple of weeks. But both times it's used for begging, this prayer is in reference to Joseph of Arimathea asking Pilate for the body of Jesus. So, I don't include, even though it's translated there, that is one of the active definitions that it's teaching us about here. Now, Vines, in his writings, in his lexicon, thesaurus, whatever you call it, he says it has a connotation of one in a lesser position asking or petitioning one who is normally in a suppliant role. So who's going to answer? Now, does that create the image for us of that we have something we need? We pray to the one who supplies all of our needs, and he grants the request. Now, this is where, and I'm going to try to be a little more clear on this. This is where it gets sticky for some folks when you study what the Greek language really means. Now, we've got to understand that he is our source. In the Greek, this word can also imply asking in an adamant, even demanding or forceful manner, what has been promised. Now, when I said that last week, you could see a few jaws drop. Let me just say flat out, I do not go to God and demand from the Father and act in an arrogant manner. So, I don't want you to take it that way at all. But I'm teaching this because, and we'll go through this scripture in Hebrews a little later, he wants us to come boldly to his throne and to receive mercy. The word for receive there literally means take, and you'll hear that again, and find grace to help in time of need. Where do we start this study with? We started the study with a verse that says the fervent, effectual prayer, or the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. My New American Standard Bible and others leaves out the word fervent. The word, therefore, effectual is energeo, which means energized. It's the word we get energy from. And it literally means that power comes on and things happen. So what are we doing when we pray? I felt like the Lord said, and let me just tell you, I told you this when we started, I didn't want to teach prayer. I don't teach what I want to. I teach what I hear Him ask me to teach. Why would I come to a house of prayer and teach people who this is what their whole life is about? Prayer. That's what the Lord said do. So that's why we laughed about it earlier, that uncomfortable in doing it. But what I felt like the Lord wanted to do is to take us from an expectation level somewhere here and rise it up. So that when we're praying with great expectation that He's going to be true to His word and do what we say. We also looked at those scriptures with Jesus being told by Martha, if you'd been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died, but I know that even today, anything you ask God, He'll do for you. And we talked about, wouldn't it be nice if somebody would say that about us today? And then we looked at six times that Jesus said that in the next four chapters about you and I. Three chapters, I guess. And then we saw some other scriptures. So this whole thing that I think God is doing with us is wanting to take us to another level in our prayer where we're producing more fruit. Because who gets glorified when that fruit is produced? Not the prayer, not the prayer, but the Father does. And so that's what we're after in this. So hear me with your spirit and lay tradition aside right now. So in the Greek, this word can mean adamantly, asking, demanding, in a forceful manner. And we use the illustration, if Mama missed her checks from Social Security, and no, I'm not quite there. Well, I am too. I just elected not to receive it. So if Mama missed her check, Tricia or I, one, would be demanding of the government, get it to us. Now, why would we be demanding it? Because they've promised that it's hers. Now, that is the same attitude, I believe, that the Lord wants us to come with, not arrogance, but with great confidence that what He's promised is mine. Now, no condemnation as we minister this, but we've all fallen short in that area. You know, I said to you earlier, a lot of people say God says no sometimes and not now. And I've told you, based on 1 John 5:14-15, I think He says yes when He hears us, when we pray according to His will. In fact, that's what that verse says. If we pray according to His will, He hears us. And 15 says, if we know He hears us, then He will give us what we've asked for, the petitions that we've asked for. And you're a great straight man for where we're going. So we're going to have to listen to the Spirit and understand what these words mean in different things. Okay? Now, finish your statement. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Absolutely. It is about our heart. Right. Right. It is about from our heart. But there are times where the system we work in, we live in, with darkness is a very legalistic system. And we need to pray with the best understanding we have. Now, so we've got that. But we need to go with a full expectation to receive, yet always with respect and honor. Now look at John 15:7. So this is our abiding chapter. And this is still under what we went through last week. And 7 says, and it has a condition on it, if you abide in me. Now let me stop there. More people are probably comfortable when they're taught that Jesus abides in us. But we don't really think a lot about abiding in Him. And we need to change that. Because that's how we become one, when we see ourselves as much abiding in Him as He in us. That's what Jesus said, wasn't it, about the Father in John 17. In fact, we'll read another place where He says it a little later on. So he's saying here, if you abide in me and my words, and we talked about when we studied John, 1 John 5, 14 and 15, where he talked about knowing his will, we said, this is the basis for everything. If you have a word from the Lord that tells you to ask for something, if it doesn't line up with here, what do we want to do with it? If you have a word, let me say it that way, and you think it's from the Lord and it doesn't line up with this, then what should we do? Chunk it, okay? If someone gives you a prophecy and says you need to be praying about this and it doesn't line up with that, respect the person, but ignore what he just told you. So he goes on and saying, those words abide in us. That, to me, creates that atmosphere of fellowship. And this is what we've talked about prayer is, a constant communion and fellowship through the Spirit with the Father. Then ask, same word, ahiteo, what you will, and it shall be done for you. So this has an implication of knowing his words, knowing his will, and to me, I would never think about going and asking something that I know is directly opposite from his will. I use the illustration, and Jessica will testify to this, of a man who maybe is a noteworthy person, and some woman out there says, I believe that the Lord told me I'm going to be his husband, so I'm just praying into that until his wife passes away. Now, I have heard several ministers that have encountered that type of thing. And Jessica, did not Trey use that same example in Healing's Coup last week in talking about prayer? So, we got people out there who pray wacky things, because they're praying a lot through their feelings, but they're just ignorant so much of the time in what the Word says about them. So, take that for what you will. Now, Philippians 4, 6. We looked at this last week, but it's worth going over. The Book of Joy in Philippians 4, 6th verse says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So we've looked at this before, and what's it telling us? It says, before you start praying, get rid of your anxiety. We talked about casting away care. And that's a good thing to do before we pray, so that we're praying lined up with his will, not out of reaction to something. But what do? We put our petitions for him, and then we begin thanking him. Why would we begin thanking him if we don't have significant confidence that he's going to hear us and grant it to us? Your thanking him isn't going to change his mind if it's not his will. This is not about manipulation of the Father. It's the way he's put into place, us being separated from him in this domain of darkness, the way to ask, petition, and I'll use some other words later, and receive what he's promised. This type of prayer is always based on God's revealed word. And when you're asking and praying in a prayer of faith or petition of this kind, there's no if associated with it. If we have to pray an if, then that says we don't know it's his will. Okay, were we all okay with that? We talked about the fact that we would pray with great confidence. Look at Hebrews 4. In the last verse in that chapter, 16. Let us therefore, and therefore, if you're going to really study this, you need to look back at what he says previously, but we won't do that today. Therefore, let us draw near with, my translation says confidence, yours says boldness. Any other words? Okay. Boldly, Same word in the Greek for bold and confident. So let us draw near with confidence or boldness to where? To His throne, which is the throne of grace, that we may receive. The word for receive there is the Greek word lambano, which means actually to take, to reach, and to pull to oneself. To take mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we're going to take one, and the other, it says, we're going to find more that we need, grace to help in this time of need. Let me hold your place there and write down in your note 1 Peter 5:5. This is not in your notes. 1 Peter 5:5. You know, some people may say, I have a real problem going boldly and confidently, and I almost going with the assurance that God's going to do what He promised me He's going to do. That says they're having trouble what? Believing. Verse 5, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So we see here that humility, a person who is humble, puts himself in a position to receive God's grace. Now go back to Hebrews 4:16. We also see then that I have a way to get grace if I go confidently or boldly. Too many people look at humility as this one leg and confidence and boldness as something totally different. I've said over and over since I've been in Macon, to me, the highest form of humility is to submit and obey and believe what His Word says. Now, do you see that you can have great humility in going to the throne of grace and still do it with great boldness and confidence? And I'm just going to tell you, both of those are necessary. Don't look at it as an either or. They go together. Just like believing and obedience go together. You can't separate them when you really study that out for another time. The Good News Bible says, let us have confidence then and approach God's throne where there is grace. There we will receive mercy and we will find grace to help us just when we need it. So how are we going? With a full expectation that when I go to that throne of grace, I'm going away with the answer that I went to get. Now, when we do that, are we praying in line with John 1:5, 14, and 15? We've already talked about that. The answer is yes. I got ahead of myself. We also said that if we're praying for things that are not in line with the Word, we got a problem. The Word needs to be, we called it a plumb bob. You want to make sure something's straight or a plumb bob or a plumb line where you snap it and mark makes a mark. That's what everything has to line up on, is the Word. And I'm going to tell you, you can't separate faith from having a revelation of His Word. Because that revelation of His Word is what gives you the confidence to stand and the foundation for which you're standing on. So all these things work together, and we make them too complicated sometimes, but it's really not. From obedience, from from having a word from God. You must have a word of God. I mean, the book that is so good on healing, Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth, fifth chapter, he makes a statement that is just so profound. He said, faith begins where the will of God is known. So what's that saying? You've got to know it's God's will or you can't act in faith. All right. Now, let me just lay one thing to you. Jesus never used this word when he was on the earth talking about praying to his Father, when he prayed. One of the next two times we're together, we'll look at a summary of all the words that are used for prayer. Most of the time when it says he prayed, and candidly it's the one most used about us too, it's a word which means to pray, but to face toward. And so it has a connotation of I'm having face time and talking with him about those things that are concerns or issues to me. That was the way that he prayed. Now, I want to change gears a little bit and go to John 16:23. And I want to do that because Jesus begins to talk in this chapter about in that day. So if he starts out in verse 23 by saying, and in that day, what day is he talking about? Our day, today, the church age. He's talking about us. I'll show you another verse in just a moment that affirms that. And in that day, you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Now, from this verse, we get the instruction of how we're to pray to the Father through his name. So, let's talk about the words that are used, and let's start with the second one. After truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything. That word ask is the same word we've been talking about, ahiteo. And again, in this verse, I take it being consistent and supported by all the other things that we've talked about when it says, if you shall ask for anything. You cannot go outside of what the word says in asking. Says he'll give it to you. How will he give it to you? In my name, he'll give it to you in my stead because of who I am, all the power, all the authority, all that that name represents. Now, the first ask there says, in that day, you will ask me nothing, or you'll ask nothing of me. What does King James say? I didn't bring mine this morning. Okay, that's all I needed. In that day, you will ask me nothing. Mine just says you'll ask me no thing, or you'll petition me no thing. The word there is a Greek word, erotao. It's in your notes, erotao. It's used 59 times. Most of the time, it's ask, pray. It's used also deceit, desire, beseech, and some variations. It implies a firm request. It implies earnest, an earnest attitude. But it also implies a peer-to-peer type request. It implies a king-to-king type request. So Jesus is not saying there, in that day we won't ask anything. We're just not going to ask him. Now, what's he trying to tell us with this? I think what he's trying to say to us is you need to see that you are a fully accepted son of the living God, just like I am. And I'm giving you, through me, access to the Father for you to ask of that Father in that peer supply, or in that asking supplier relationship. He's saying, you're not going to have to go through me for this. Now, I know a lot of other folks and a lot of denominations teach something different. But we don't have to ask in the name of his mother. And I'm not being disrespectful to Mary, because I have great respect for what anyone who can say, be it unto me according to your word, with what she just heard, I have great respect for. We sure don't need to ask in the name of any saint or any other person, but we have to ask in the name of Jesus, and he gives it to us. Now, he says a similar thing in John 14:16. And we're going to end up in John 14 a bunch in just a moment. In John 14, he says, and I will ask the Father. So he's talking about something that he's going to do in the future. And guess which word it is? It's that second word, erotao, which he's saying, I'm going to ask on a peer-to-peer relationship with my Father. And what did the word say? That God exalted him to his right hand, gave him a name, gave him the name above all names, which I believe was his name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and in earth would bow. So I think we're getting a picture of how the man, the resurrected man, Jesus, the Son of the living God, sits there with the authority he has in heaven. So again, to me, Jesus is saying, you don't need to ask me, you're a son too. You ask in my name because I'm the one, when you're in me, you're in the Father. No one gets to the Father except through me, he says early in John. So I just want us to see, Jesus is, even before he goes to the cross, he's telling us, you got access to that throne room where I am, to go to him. He doesn't say, come boldly to my throne. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace, talking about the Father. And so we've just got to be confident that we can enter in to that place. Now, why so much time on this? I said earlier, confident, boldness to ask, receive, take, when we have promises. And there are so many promises that we don't partake of. Bill Johnson, I've heard him teach on the fact that things that are promised to us, he no longer asks for. He goes boldly, and he receives them, and he takes them. And I think a lot of that comes from, as we spend more time fellowshipping with the Lord, then we're going to see more of how much of a son we are and what importance our daughter we have. And it's going to give us that increased confidence when we go before him to know that certain needs he's provided for and just believe him for it. So, I want to change gears then one more time and go to a different subject. But before I do, had planned on spending some time talking about how do we pray. But we've kind of gone over that. We studied it before, the principles of you ask in the name of Jesus and the Father gives it in my name. So now I want to raise the question, still back to that same word of demanding or requiring. Do we say or do we pray? Because a lot of people have issues with that. So let's go. Do we say or speak to, or do we pray? So now let's go and look at Jesus a few times. Luke 4. And I've tried to put them here fairly close together so we can move quickly. What verse did I put down? 38, 39 is where I want to read. This is where Jesus has come into Peter's house, and he must love his mother-in-law because he asked Jesus to tend to her because she's running a high fever. Luke tells us it was a very high fever. And standing over her, Jesus rebuked the fever. The word there is epitomeo, which means to judge from a position over. So to judge from a position of higher authority. How did he rebuke the fever? He spoke to it. Speaking is very important. 8 times in Genesis 1, God gives us an idea of how things change. And God said, light be. And God said, and God said, and it was. So here's Jesus. And he didn't come in. And Peter said, would you help my mother-in-law? And said, well, let's all gather around. Let's all pray. He did what? He rebuked it. He spoke to it. And the fever did what? It left and she was up serving him in just a moment. One page over, or actually, it's not even over in my Bible, in Luke 5:13. This is the same account in Mark 1 of the leper who comes to him and says, I know you can if you will. We could spend a lot of time on that, but I won't. And Jesus says, of course I will. And he reached out and touched him and said, be cleansed. So what's he doing? He is speaking. He didn't say, let's kneel and pray. He said, he acted on the authority he knew he had, and he said, I will be cleansed. Now, it's important to note, how is Jesus acting here? As a man or as God? He's not acting as God because he lay aside his deity privileges. Philippians 2. So he's walking in a man, in right relationship with God, which we are today. Would we agree with that? With the anointing, filled with the Holy Spirit, same one that resides in you and I. So he's walking as a man in the authority. And I would add, as an example, for what a man filled with the Spirit can do and how he can walk in this earth even today. So here we see a couple of occasions. Then you look at John 4. Now this is the account of the nobleman who walks 20-something miles to get to Jesus because he hears he's come into the land, and he walks from Capernaum, and he asks Jesus to come to his house, and Jesus has a discourse about believing, and you won't see unless you see things happen the way you expect them to. And he says to the man, go your way, your son lives. He did not what? He didn't pray for him. He spoke to it. Now, with that, I also want to say, if you look at, and don't turn there, we know and you know that many, many times, in Mark 6:46 is in your notes, Jesus would retreat to the mountain to pray. So we know he prayed to his Father. But he didn't pray to his Father when he knew what? That he had authority to act. So, I would say Jesus prayed, and he said, I started to say he said, but that rhymed, but that's not good English. Jesus said and spoke to things, and he prayed. Now, with that, I want to go to John 14. And most of the rest of the time, we'll be in here. And so we see, again, Jesus prayed, and Jesus spoke to things. John 14, let's start with verse 6. talking to his disciples. And this is beginning three chapters, well, four chapters, counting 17, four chapters where Jesus is with his disciples just prior to his going to the cross. So these are some of his last words to him. And I always believe that, I mean, all Jesus' words are important, but the first things he talked about and the last things he talked about, I would say we need to pay particular attention to. So in 14, in verse 6, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. That ties right in with what we just talked about earlier, about praying and coming to the throne. And the disciples had said, you know, we don't know where you're going. And he said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Now, what statement is Jesus making there? What point is he making? That everything I've done is a reflection of who? My Father. So he said, if you've known me, you would have known my Father. And from now you know him. Why do they know him? Why do they know the Father? Because they've seen him. And seen, they know his character by seeing how Jesus acted. And you've seen him. And Philip, and I'm not going to beat on him, I don't want to get to heaven and mistakenly call Thomas Doubting Thomas. Because I've been there. So I'm going to do the same with Philip. Show him some respect. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how do you say, show us the Father? Now this is where I want us to spend some time in. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father's in me? So is he describing a condition that we exist in today? Yes, he is. He prays for that for you in chapter 17. That's a chapter we need to read over and over and over. And then he goes on to say, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative. So what's the implication? What I'm doing, what I'm saying to you, they're not just coming from me, they're coming from the Father. Now, does that line up with other scriptures we see in John, I think, 8 and some other chapters where it says, I don't do anything unless I see the Father do it. I don't say anything unless I hear him say it. So what is he talking about then? The things he does are the works that he's doing. And then that's affirmed because it says right after that, but the Father abiding in me, he does his works. So the context of what he's talking about now is about hearing the Father and doing his works. Would we agree? Okay. That's really important. Then in 11 he says, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. Or believe me on account of the works themselves. Now he shifts gears a little bit. But he hasn't left the whole thought of works, of doing works that glorify the Father. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you who believe in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. So you've read this scripture dozens of times. You've prayed it probably over yourself. The works, Father, that Jesus did, you're saying in your word that I'm going to do. So, if I'm going to do them, how am I going to do them? Am I going to do them differently from the way Jesus did? Or am I going to have to do them the same way that he did? So, let's refresh ourselves. How did he say he did them? I hear, I see, and he does. Now, what happened in between him hearing, him seeing, and the Father doing? He rebuked the fever. He touched the leper and pronounced him clean. He spoke to the nobleman's son and said, go your way, your son lives. He put the words out. He spoke. He said. Let me finish. Just keep it, okay? Because I'm going somewhere with this. Now in verse 13, he turns right around and says, and whatever you, my translation says ask. The word is ahiteo. That first word that we said means ask, request, require, call forth. That word, which in the Greek meant to demand or to be adamant in it. He says here, whatever you ahiteo, whatever you call for, ask in my name, that will, wait a minute. It doesn't say the Father's going to do it, does it? Who's it say is going to do it? It says, that will I do. Now look down at the next verse, at 14. He says again, if you, ahiteo, me anything in my name, I will do it. He doesn't say the Father's going to do it like he did before. Why? Because we are walking on this earth in his authority. When we give the commands that he's given us to give, either through the word or by a word from him, or you see him doing it, then we need to do it just like he did it. We need to speak, to demand, let's go to Mark 11:23. Hold your place there and go over to Mark 11:23. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain. Now, what does a mountain represent here in this verse? Problems. Things that are opposing you. Things that are coming against you from the darkness that is in this earth. Yes? Therefore, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart that's going to happen, but believes that what he says is going to happen. So we've got to say this with confidence and boldness, believing what? That it is going to happen. And it says, it shall, mine says, it shall be to him, literally. My Bible inserts the word granted in italics. So what are we doing here? We are speaking to that which opposes us, to the forces of darkness, to the things that are in this world that are curses. We are speaking to them, and just like Jesus did, and demanding or requiring that they leave. I'm not demanding of God. He told me to speak to it. I've told you the story of the older, he's in heaven now, Kenneth E., who said he was in one of his visitations from the Lord. He was in a visitation with him, and there was like this little impish figure that got in there and started jumping around, and smoke started coming around him. He said, I really got agitated because I couldn't hear the Lord talking. But he said, the Lord just kept talking. And he said, finally I got fed up with it and told that thing, go! And he said, it just bent down and crawled off. And he said, excuse me, Lord, why didn't you tell him to go? He said, I couldn't have. He said, he's in the earth with you. You are the one with the authority today. That's why I need your voice to speak to him. So what are we demanding of? We're not demanding of God, but we're demanding, we're commanding spiritual forces of darkness and wickedness and things that are cursed in this earth to change, just like Jesus did with a fever. When God gave authority to man in the garden, to man and woman in the garden, he gave them authority and dominion over a lot of stuff. But there was one thing he didn't give him authority over. The tree, but how about each other? He didn't give them rule and dominion over each other. So a lot of times when we're praying about things, don't speak now to a person who is opposing you. Because the word says our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with those things that are influencing him. I don't have any authority to command things, to command you to do things. You have to decide to act. That's your choice and free will. So what I want us to see is that from this position of victory or strength, we have the right to declare our word, to declare to those forces that have come against us, that may have inflicted our body, that are holding up finances, all the promises, all the things, to speak to peace and to the spirits that would come against those. We have the authority on those promises to act on them just like Jesus did when he was on the earth. Nowhere in the New Testament do you see people praying about things like remove this evil spirit. What happened? What did Paul do? He spoke to it. What did Jesus do? He spoke to it. He didn't ask the Lord to remove it. And that could take us a whole nother route on. Now, do we have examples in the Bible of where men other than Jesus did this? Yes. Let's start with Acts 3. We got Jesus in John 11, where he told Lazarus, come forth. I've often wondered what would have happened if he hadn't said Lazarus, but if he just spoke to the dead and said, come forth. I don't know the answer to that. In Acts 3, the sixth verse, Peter and John have gone into the temple to pray. Peter says, I don't possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, what did he do? Walk. Why didn't Peter stop and pray? Because he had a word from the Lord that he heard, and that he spoke it, and that he acted on. Acts 9:40. But Peter sent them all out, and he knelt down and prayed. This is when Dorcas had passed away, and they had called him to come there. And then he turned to the body, and he did what? Spoke to it. One of the things that I am learning more and more is to listen and to seek the Spirit when someone comes to me for prayer versus just starting to pray every scripture I know and to get the word of the Lord on it. I have had more results with people being set free when I've done that than trying to just come up with the scripture to use or out of my own. Now, are there times when I don't get clear direction? Yeah. And I act on the principles that I've learned in the Word. But there is something about hearing the voice of God and acting it for that situation. Acts 14:9, last one. The man was listening to Paul as he spoke, and when he had fixed his gaze upon him, Paul saw that he had faith to be made well. And he said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped and began to walk. So we see over and over that saying is appropriate. So which one do we do? Be led. Both are appropriate. But I want us to see, Jesus said, sent the disciples and he said, go heal. Go cast out. They could do that because he gave them his authority. Guess what? Same authority we have today. Now, don't get to a standpoint of think that I don't have to spend time in prayer that face-to-face time with Him, and I just go around doing all these things. I believe Jesus heard and saw during those times. I don't think there was much that He encountered that didn't come to Him very quickly as a result of all the time in the prayer. I personally believe, remember when they caught the woman in the adultery and brought Him to Him, and He knelt down and started writing? I have no clue what He wrote, but I personally believe He was just spending a little time listening before He stood up with the greatest wisdom that had ever been spoken, made Solomon look foolish. So saying and praying, same word. I think you have to look in context and ask the Lord to reveal to you, when do I pray, when do I say? But don't shy away from it. It is what Jesus did, and if He is our example, then there's no reason we can't be doing it more and more to the point that we get the same results He did.